should legalize cannabis, and the investigation said yes, and the government said
no, 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 no.
I want to talk about Steel and Nigel Farage's popularity, his mystifying popularity, and plenty else besides. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, President Trump's special envoy to the Middle East has condemned a response from Hamas to his proposals for a ceasefire in Gaza. Steve Witkoff says the amendments it's put forward, including a complete Israeli withdrawal from the territory, are totally unacceptable and would only move things backwards. Yotam Cohen's brother Nimrod is a captive Israeli soldier and is keen for a resolution.
We are left with no other option but to turn to the United States special envoy to the Middle East. Please, Mr. Witkoff, if the hostage deal outline is accepted, place a comprehensive deal on the table immediately.
It's thought hundreds of migrants have crossed the English Channel from France after at least six boats tried to make the journey to the UK. It's being reported the Coast Guard had to ask fishing boats to help a yacht and kayaks which had got into trouble because it was responding to small boats earlier in the day. The UK is to build at least six weapons and explosives factories at a cost of around £1.6 billion. The Defence Secretary says they're part of the Strategic Defence Review, which will be announced on Monday and will ensure a steady supply of bombs and bullets. But the defence editor at the London Standard, Robert Fox, has been telling LBC the UK also needs to spend much more on cyber security as well.
The attacks are constant, 90,000 a year at least. Nearly 200, potentially absolutely lethal, could take down great chunks of government. They haven't got the message out. We're in this new kind of strange hybrid war, and it's going to be relentless.
Three people have been arrested in Northampton after a fire at a shopping complex. Emergency workers were sent to a branch of Dunelm on the St James's Retail Park this afternoon. The group's being held on the suspicion of arson. More than 150 people have been killed by flooding in Nigeria. Officials say water is waist deep in some areas following intense downpours which have come after a long dry spell. And in football, the French team Paris Saint-Germain have won the Champions League final. They beat the Italian side Inter Milan 5-0 in Munich, achieving a record scoreline for the competition's final. LBC weather, any remaining rain will clear to the east, leaving a dry and settled night for many areas. Cloudy in the west with showers spreading across Northern Ireland and also Scotland by dawn. We'll see a low of 8 degrees. From Global's newsroom, for LBC, I'm Tim Daly.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Abbott.
This is absolute tosh.
Right, so what are we doing?
Given we're doing a radio show. I do a podcast with Carol McGiffin, by the way. It's a problem-solving podcast. And there's over 300, probably getting on for 350 episodes up there now. And each one of which is a hoot and a half. The one that's coming out on Monday, I think you'll love it. And if you want us to have a bash at your issue, a problem, you know, something you've always wondered about, then there is an email address, and it's nickandcarol@global.com. nickandcarol@global.com. And prepare to be totally satisfied.
Oh, right, yeah.
Ask for it by name on an internet near you. What's your problem with Nick and Carol? Now then, who's been waiting the longest? Wembley Park. Hello, Christoph.
Oh, hi, Nick. I don't think I've been waiting that long, so thanks for that. Maybe I haven't got that full of switchboard or something. Anyway,
I can put you on hold, if you like.
Well...
That sounds like a yes.
I'm neutral on the matter. You have presenter's privilege.
Okay, carry on.
So, bananas. Now, I was born in Africa, and I was always taught to yank the stalk to peel the banana.
What does that mean?
And it was very easy. Sorry? You just yank the stalk to the side and the skin breaks and you get access to the banana's flesh.
Right. So not you go from the top, which I would. Yeah. I guess it depends on which way up you're holding it. But the bit with the sticky out bit rather than the rounded
yes,
end.
That's yes, right. Okay. Yeah, the stalk. Yes. Now, funny enough, I mean, I when I came to this country, yeah, it does seem that prevalently people do it from the other way around.
No, they don't. No, I've never seen anybody do it the other way around.
Okay, well, I suppose maybe so. Just people I associate with or something.
Weirdos.
However, my other half, who originates from India, she certainly does it from the non-stalk end.
Really?
And so, I don't
well,
know.
What's the reason for that, though? Why would they do that? It seems to me it's more difficult, because the stalk at the end
exactly.
actually it provides
exactly.
a lever.
Yeah, absolutely, and I agree with you. I thought you were on the other side. I thought you were on the other end of the debate, Nick.
No.
I haven't been listening to the whole show yet.
From the top end?
I mean, right, you're the stalk end. I mean, I just thought, do monkeys do it?
Yes, that's the whole basis of the conversation. Humans do it from the top, and monkeys do it from the bottom. And people assume that monkeys know what they're doing because they're monkeys and they eat bananas. But humans eat bananas too.
Yes, but you see, in India, where my wife is from, they see divinity in practically everything. And there is a monkey god. I think his name is Hanuman. Hanuman. Yeah. So maybe that's why they do it that way.
Because the monkey god does it from the wrong way.
Well,
right. Well,
that's all I wanted to say, really, Nick.
There's a monkey garden and there's banana wine. The stuff you're learning on this show. It's an education, no?
No.
Not really. All right, good work. Thanks, Christoph. Gabriel in Hackney says, I just Googled Ghanaian movie posters. Did the art movement take inspiration from the terribly produced airbrush art on funfair rides? Yes. Kind of, yeah. It's terrible. I wonder why that is. The only thing I can think of is that they're ripping off films, they're stealing the film, and then because they don't have the official poster to go with it, they make their own. Because if the films were being actually sent by the distributor to Ghanaians, to Ghana, in fact, then you'd think that they would send the poster as well. Very weird. They're just terrible. I mean, shockingly bad. Robin London says, Nick, when you're in a wood, look up into the canopy. The tree's upper branches do not overgrow each other. They sense other trees and keep a polite gap to maximise light exposure. That's not what's happening, Rob. They just fill the space in order to maximise their exposure to the sun. They're not talking to each other, and it's nothing. Polite's got nothing to do with it. Let's see. East Yorkshire. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hello, Nick.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Yeah, you were talking about Farage. That reminded me of Brexit.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of Brexit hard man Steve Baker's been in the news this week.
Oh, God, what's he done now? Bought a new pair of spectacles. Got a new haircut.
No, what he's suggested is that MPs who lose the seat should get a year's pay. 4 months' pay is not enough because it doesn't soften the horrible process of getting a job.
Oh, my God. How can you be so out of touch as to say something like that? I mean, is he just trolling us?
Well, it's amazing, but it got worse than that, Nick, because he said, as soon as I apply, they know who I am. And they Google me.
Yeah.
And they don't want me.
Right.
I mean, how unself-aware can you be?
That mouth breather that used to... so quickly we forget. Who's that mouth breather that also lost his job? He used to work in a school and he can't find a job no more.
Not ghoulish.
He was ghoulish. He was ghoulish, yeah.
Jonathan.
Jonathan. Isn't that amazing? We forget so quickly. He's out of our lives. Sing. Jonathan.
Not Gullis.
Gullis. Yeah, I think it's Gullis, yeah.
Yeah.
He was saying that, you know, he precisely the same problem. Whenever he goes for a job, people look him up on the World Wide Web and they say...
No.
No. Hey, Jonathan.
Stop whining.
You know what you've done.
It's the amazing lack of self-awareness.
It really is.
To say that and then say they Google me and they don't want me. Well, if that was the case, I'd keep my gum shut.
I thought that Steve Baker was all over those opaquely funded so-called think tanks that, you know, throw money at people who say that, you know, we want to open up coal mines again and put children up chimneys and stuff like that. I thought that was his deal.
Well, he's saying it's not a job, so I don't know. He's not declaring it, obviously.
Yeah. So did you read in Politico or was it elsewhere?
Oh, that one. No, I saw that on, it was on the BBC website.
Nearly a year after Britain's seismic general election, former MPs booted out by the electorate are feeling abandoned. The pain is particularly acute for the waves of defeated Conservative parliamentarians now adjusting to life beyond the Westminster bubble after the party's humiliating election rout. Isn't that sad?
No.
It's been months since I've heard anything from anyone in the party, said a former Tory MP defeated last year and granted anonymity to speak candidly. The Conservative Party has done anything but wrap its arms around former MPs. Well, they're a political party. They step nimbly over the fallen and just carry on to their hands outstretched, reaching for the money. It's not the Marines. It's not like they don't leave anybody behind. While politics has always been a rough business, big swings in the mood of the electorate in recent years mean more and more former MPs are finding themselves reaching out for support and finding a lot left to be desired. And I can't see where Steve Baker comes into this story. It's too long to read the whole thing, but isn't that desperately sad? Oh, here we go. Baker suggested Conservative donors could help ease the transition by offering employment to ex-MPs and lamented both the quality of the career advice provided by the party and the risk-averse culture at companies regarding the hiring of former MPs who had taken strong positions, by which I think I mean... by which I think he means wrong positions. Well, if I had no idea that this day would get better as it got older, but it seems that that is the case. Excellent work, Mike. Thanks for that. Ta-da. It's funny, isn't it? I mean, I would have thought that somebody like him, who has been, so instrumental in the direction that this country has taken, would have been set up for life. I would have guessed that those right-wing think tanks would have been beating down his door for him to come over and say, what we want to do is drill, baby, drill, you know, stuff like that. We want to get all those wind farms out at sea. We want to close them all down because, wind gives you cancer. That kind of thing. But apparently not. I am amazed. So that is one of life's little lessons that you just heard there, ladies and gentlemen. Be very careful what you do in one job because it might affect your ability to get another one. And I imagine that when they're in government, when they're in a position of power, they feel invincible, like this good fortune will never stop. I mean, I suppose that's the same with everybody, isn't it? You don't imagine that something bad is going to happen until the moment that it does. Like being in a car accident. You can't imagine the front of your car caving in as you wrap it around a lamppost until the moment that that happens. So sad. Robin London says, oh no, that's that looking up into the canopy. The trees' upper branches don't grow next to each other because they keep a polite gap. Well, there's a gap all right there, Rob, but it's got nothing to do with politeness. You are out of your mind. And this says, Nick, your anti-monkey agenda is sickening. Yeah, well, I'm sorry if this sounds racist, but all monkeys look alike to me. There, I've said it. 0345-6060-973, LBC.
This is LBC.
Amazon offers term time working to their employees, like Anton, who's home to look after his daughters during their holidays.
Hello!
To him, this is the best sound in the world. Actually, maybe that's the best sound of all. Now that's term time working. Offered at Amazon. 10 weeks off guaranteed per year. Mix of paid holiday and unpaid time off. Conditions apply.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Hot air. H-O-T-A-I-R.
Yeah, and on the subject of hot air, this text says, in Coventry, I can confirm a noticeable increase in insect splatter this spring. Roll on summer. Yeah, summer is just around the corner. In fact, it starts tomorrow, doesn't it? And it's practically over already because the days start to get shorter about three quarters of the way through that month. Blimey, isn't that awful? Let me just see what the weather's going to be like next week. So pretty good today, pretty good tomorrow and Monday. And then it takes a nosedive. Oh, God. So we go from 71 degrees, this is in the middle of London, to 63. If it's 63 degrees in the middle of London, then that's going to be blooming freezing elsewhere. That's not very good, is it? And then next week, ooh, hello. Blimey. Wow, really? Now, okay, this is them saying what's going to happen in 2 weeks' time, which very rarely comes to pass. I mean, they might be able to get tomorrow accurate, more or less, but in 2 weeks, not really. But what they're predicting for us so far is 79 degrees next week. We'll take that. Awesome, Forcer. 0345 6060973. Cheddar Gorge, Dave.
Evening, Dick.
Yes, Dave.
I just caught the last bit of the guy who was talking about bananas.
Mm-hmm.
And how you eat them.
Yes.
Now, several years ago, I was watching a wildlife program, and if you see the way a monkey peels a banana,
mm-hmm.
they got it right.
They do it wrong.
No, they do it right.
Well, they don't do anything else. They don't do anything else right. Why do we trust them with bananas?
Well, we originated from them.
Yeah, I know, but we've improved in every way, shape and form. We're less hairy. We've invented the watch and the self-driving car. In all of that time, monkeys are still sitting in trees throwing their poop around.
Well,
yes.
In some instances, that's what we're doing in this country.
Dave, I have never sat in a tree and thrown my poop around.
No, you probably haven't.
No.
But the way some people live, they do.
Well, that is true. Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, we've got the problems with the caravan people parking on the side of the road, peeing in bottles.
Uh-oh.
Pooing in bags.
Uh-oh.
And you're telling me that we're all educated.
No, I didn't say that we were all educated. I said that we're doing better than monkeys. So that is certainly true. Yeah, I mean, monkeys cavort about the countryside in caravans? No, they do not. See? Better. Thanks a lot, Dave. That's not where I thought that was going. Sometimes you just don't know where the trip is going to end up. Rosemary in Birmingham says, Nick, I have seen a banana farmer peel and eat a banana. He peeled it the same end as the monkeys. Yeah, I don't care how many people or animals peel it at the wrong end. It's still the wrong end. It doesn't matter how many people make the same mistake. And is there anything else in life that you would copy a monkey doing? I'll pause while you think about that for a moment. Is there anything a monkey does that you would copy in any other field of endeavour? No. So why do we trust that they've got the whole banana thing right? Monkeys are idiots. Any fool know that. Let's have York. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Nick.
Yes, Jan.
How are you?
I am great, mate.
Very good. Now, last week, You said you'd like a kitten, but it would be too much work.
I'd like a pet of some sort that you can switch off and put in the cupboard. You know, like an electronic pet that is like a real one, but you don't have to, if you don't want to be bothered walking the dog or, you know, or you're out and you have to come back to feed it, that would be a pain in the neck to me. So I like the stroking part, and when a cat falls asleep on you and you can't move because, oh, I can't do that because the cat's on me, you know, that's a good excuse.
Yeah.
All that's good, but not the the responsibility that comes with it.
Well, did you know you can get a robot kitten? That would be perfect for you, wouldn't it?
I'm not sure it would, though, because I know it would be a robot kitten, you see. Not a real one. Well, it's not a real one. I'd like a real one that you can switch off.
You don't want a real one.
I don't want a real one, but I'd like one. Okay, what I want is a slave or an assistant. Let me rephrase that. I would like an assistant who could take over the, you know, the doings. They would, you know, feed it and then empty its tray and take it on walks and all of that. And then I could just be, you know, the strokey daddy. I could be, and it would love me and put up with the assistant.
Well, I just don't know what to say about that.
Well, you don't have to say anything about it at all. You could just accept it and move quietly on.
I thought I'd got the perfect answer for a robot kid.
It'll still be a robot. It's like those things that, I mean, they're really alarming. And I've got detailed files about the dangers of AI. I mean, the stuff that's coming. We have no idea what is about to happen to us. And it's about to happen very, very quickly. And I just don't think the human race has grasped this at all. I was talking to somebody on the Sunday's show last Sunday after midnight. And if I can get it together, I'm going to include that conversation, which was it was funny and interesting and very frightening all at the same time. And I'll include it in the Best Of podcast, which comes out on a Monday, called The Nick Abbott Habit.
It was very frightening.
Because did you hear it?
I did.
Right. I thought it was really fascinating. And it's the only time I've ever done an interview where I asked the guy to hang on while I take a break and can I come back and ask you some more questions. I've never done that before.
So, I think we're going down the wrong track, don't you?
How do you mean?
Well, AI.
Yeah.
Why? What's the point? I mean, we just, you know, it can't be good, can it?
I'll give you the point in one word and two syllables. Money.
Right.
That's it. And there's nothing we can do to stop it now, because the people who are involved in making it are more interested in money than anything else. And they know that if they stop, because they're alarmed with what the progress is and where it's all leading, they know that somebody else will pick up and charge ahead and they will lose all of that money.
Terrible.
It is terrible. Yeah, what is about to happen to us is just absolutely terrifying. And I just don't think that people have any idea what is about to occur. And it's going to happen really, really soon.
Yeah. I mean, it puts everybody out, well, nearly everybody out of work. What's everybody going to do?
I have no idea what anybody's going to do. That's the alarming thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
Can I just say something else?
Yes.
Have you been to see the Laburnum March this year?
The what?
The Laburnum March. In
Bodnant. No, I did not. Didn't get there this year, no.
Lovely,
I mean, it is an amazing thing. Yeah, it's just absolutely extraordinary, and it's well worth the trip to North Wales because it's a fantastic garden. I mean, the rhododendrons they got there are incredible. Best collection I've seen. And it's world famous. And it's if you haven't been and you're in that vicinity, then I thoroughly recommend it. It's called Bodnant Gardens.
You could get a laburnum for your tree collection.
No.
No?
Well, it needs an arch, doesn't it? I've got an arch.
No. You can get ones that grow tall.
Can you?
I used to have one.
Oh, yes.
I had to have it cut down because it had a split trunk. And every time it was windy, I thought, you know, it might fall over.
Fall on your house.
Exactly. So I had to have it cut down. But it was lovely. It was about 20 feet tall.
Wow.
And it was, you know, fabulous in spring, you know.
I did not think that they grew as trees. I thought they were just climbers.
Oh, no. You look them up.
I most certainly will do nothing of the sort, Jan.
Oh, sorry.
But thanks
for the... to about 25 feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But not round my way, they won't, no. And you executed it?
Well, I had to. I didn't want to.
Mm.
But I had to.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And, you know, a woman's got to do what a woman's got to do. And
I was very sad. I didn't want to do it, but there you go.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, Jan. Right. Cheers, my dear. 0345 6060 973. Nana from, not Banana, surely. Nana from Chessington says, AI has just told me this. Monkeys in the wild do not typically eat bananas. Huh. They are more likely to consume a wide variety of fruits, leaves and foliage. While monkeys may enjoy bananas as a treat in captivity or near human settlements, it's a misconception, says Nana, who would know, being as how she, he or it is called Nana. There's stuff you learn on this programme. Educational, no?
No.
0345 6060973. London, hello, Joseph.
Hi there, Nick. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Cannabis. So, you were talking about that earlier on. I was actually prescribed it from... it was an NHS doctor. It was... they sent me off to go to one of these private companies in order to actually buy it off, because they're not even... because half them are not even allowed to write prescriptions. They're saying that it's very, very hard for them at the moment. And to be honest with you, I actually do believe that if we did legalise it fully, we would be able to pay a huge amount of money into the NHS just from the taxes alone.
Yeah, well, that is the experience of the countries that have either legalised it or decriminalised it. Seems a bit weird to go halfway. I mean, decriminalise. Why don't you just legalise it, for crying out loud?
No, for sure. And at the moment as well, I mean, people are gathering Hyde Park to do it. Yeah. And all they're doing is just funding all these dealers who nobody even knows what they're putting into it or how they're growing it or the safety. You know, even on some of these websites now, you can get, like, radiated, deradiated. You know, so people with, like, immune problems are able to use it. And
radiated? What's radiated? Yeah,
they put, like, so if somebody's got, like, an autoimmune disease and they're suffering from pain or anxiety from that, they're actually able to put, like, radiation into it to sort of kill the bacteria. It kills all the bacteria inside of, like, the flower itself. It's just a way of, I suppose, being able to make it accessible to everyone. And
that's very unusual, though, that you managed to get an NHS doctor to sign you a prescription legalised marijuana.
He wasn't actually allowed to sign a prescription. He wrote in my letter to my GP to use a private company to do it. So I had to give a letter to a private company in order for them to actually move it to the next step. I think in the UK so far, there's only been 3 prescriptions that have been written. I think that,
How daft is that? Yeah, and what's odd, though, I mean, it's ironic, that I think that this country produces more medical marijuana than any other country in the world. I think that's
100%.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, and we ship it off all over different parts of the world.
It's bizarre.
I remember somebody hearing that it was a politician's wife or something that originally owned a huge, like, marijuana farm. It was crazy.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
And how's it working out for you?
Do you know what? I think it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, I've tried so many different things. I mean, all different pharmaceuticals. Mm. Such as, like, anxiety. I suffer from chronic pain. I've got a problem with my central nervous system.
Right.
And they've tried that with traditional, like, pain relief and antidepressants. And this has been the best so far, with just, like, not feeling like a zombie all the time, but just able to have a very, very small dosage, just a few drops of oil under the tongue. And you get a good 6-7 hours of just solid relief, mood, uplifting mood, and... I think, again, it's like anything, isn't it? When it's used properly, you know, it can be very helpful to people. And I think just the advice and guidance, if there was dispensaries around, you can go to and actually, you know, learn how to use it rather than just buying it and hoping for the best.
Well, it seems particularly cruel if, and you're not alone in finding it useful. If many people like you have tried all sorts of other different, you know, poisonous chemicals as produced by the pharmaceutical giants, if they don't work, you know, the vast cost that they come in at, and you find relief in something that just grows out the ground naturally, then it seems particularly twisted not to allow you access to that product.
No, 100%. And it's and the thing about it is it's one of the safest like medications or drugs out there. I mean, there's been no recorded cases where somebody has done themselves physical long term harm from large dosage.
It's very difficult to overdose, and people don't die from it. They may die because they did something stupid or they weren't paying attention 100%. When they crossed the road, but they don't die from it like people die from alcohol, for instance.
Yes, 100%. And there are people going in, and I think that's what's sort of important. I think it's, I remember when I was at uni and people just drink so much.
Yes.
And you would see that, and you can understand how people can get to the point where, and that's fully legal, and something else where you can't even get near that point is not, and it should be treated the same.
Yes, you look at the deaths from drugs, and the government releases it on a yearly basis, and I can't remember exactly how many, but we're in the tens of thousands for alcohol, if not the hundreds of thousands, and it's more than that from cigarettes, and then your A-class drugs get a certain amount of deaths, and marijuana, usually, none at all.
Yeah, it was crazy. I actually remember I was watching a video on YouTube about it, and the reason why it was originally made legal in the US was they wanted a way apparently of fighting the hippie. They just changed it to sort of have that sort of war on drugs. But you know what though, if you do look at places like California and where they've got a struggling healthcare system, they're private, where this is obviously NHS, but the NHS, everyone knows, is really, really struggling. This could be a good way of actually funding and putting some money back into it, and people finding their own way of using relief.
It would make a lot of money in tax and save a lot of money, probably more so in stopping the use of the law and order system in this country, the police time and the courts and
100%.
The cost of keeping people in prison and, you know, all the rest of it. The massive savings plus the taxation from it would go a long way to, I don't know, I mean, you could buy a nurse for sure. You could probably buy tens of thousands of nurses.
Hey,
Joseph, I wish you all the best, but I got to go because I'm past the break. 0345-6060-973. I mean, this is in relation, I haven't actually talked about it yet, but this is in relation to a commission, a study, another one that has just done a lot of diligent research about this subject and come up with the same result that they always come up with, and the government gave it the same response that they always do. Well, I might get into that in a minute. Just past 11:30 on LBC, the news headlines with Tim Daly.
The UK is to build at least 6 weapons and explosives factories at a cost of around £1.6 billion. The Defence Secretary says they're part of the Strategic Defence Review being announced on Monday. It's thought hundreds of migrants have crossed the English Channel from France after at least 6 boats tried to make the journey to the UK. It's being reported the Coast Guard had to ask fishing boats to help a yacht and kayaks while dealing with small boats earlier in the day. And 3 people have been arrested in Northampton after a fire at a shopping complex. Emergency workers were sent to a branch of Dunelm on the St James's Retail Park this afternoon. LBC weather: any remaining rain will clear to the east, leaving a dry and settled night for much of the country. Cloudy in the west though, with a low of 8 degrees.
This is LBC.
The Steakhouse Stack, with 2 layers of delicious beef, crispy onions and peppercorn sauce. It's the kind of McDonald's you take photos of to put pride of place on the mantelpiece. Sure, you'll need to make room, but you remember what your wedding day looked like? The Steakhouse Stack. It's McDonald's, and then some. Available until the 17th of June. Serve from 11 a.m. Subject to availability. Participating restaurants only.
How would you like to be a Win Plus winner? Enter now to win huge cash prizes and loads more at winplus.co.uk. 18 plus, GB only, T's and C's apply.
Tired of watching your uninvested cash do nothing? With the Bank of England base rate reducing investment platform, IG is doing something extraordinary. IG is offering a whopping 8.5% AER variable on all uninvested cash. Yes, 8.5%. Just open open an account, transfer money in, and make one investment before May 31st to unlock this incredible rate. Visit ig.com now to open an investment account today. Your capital is at risk. GIA, ISA, and SIP accounts only. Boosted rate applies until 31st August 2025. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks to their unique boutique spirit, there really is nothing quite like a Saga River Cruise. There are the elegantly designed Spirit ships, the all-inclusive dining, and of course, Saga's carefully selected excursions. You know, they'll even drive you to and from the airport with their nationwide chauffeur service. How long now, Charles?
Oh, half an hour.
Marvellous. Search Saga River Cruises. Experience is everything. 2026 season on sale now. Chauffeur service available on UK mainland. Full terms apply, over 50s only.
Nick Abbott on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
I am not one of your fans!
Possession of small amounts of cannabis for personal use should be decriminalised, a major commission set out this week. Just like the last time a major commission looked into the matter, and like the one before that and the one before that. And I'll skip right to the end when the government says...
No, 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 no.
Yeah, they say no. They say, let's commission a study and then the whole circus will start again. How is the war on drugs going, by the way?
Oh, fabulous.
It's odd, isn't it? It's a war that's been going since the 1950s now, and so far more people are taking more drugs than at any time in history. Still, if at first you don't succeed, keep doing the same thing for 70 years. That'll work. According to the government's own figures, the number of people 16 to 59 who take, for example, a Class A drug has gone up in a pretty straight line since 1995, during which time £6.9 billion a year is spent on drug-related police enforcement and drug-related crime. £6.9 billion. That's about £7,000 million. 50 years at £7,000 million a year, that's, well, that's a very big number. Over to a big number expert. How much is it, warm horses?
And one.
More than that.
Two.
More than that.
6 million.
Even more than that. Way more than that. I mean, even if we just half that number, the 6.9 billion a year, just for fun, we'll halve it. It's still £150 billion in the 50 years that they've been prosecuting the war on drugs. 150 billion. 150,000 million pounds. And the problem, as we see it, as they see it, as a problem, has got worse.
Well, the whole world's gone crazy.
Yeah, the old bag is right. Cannabis use, by the way, that's A-class drugs. Cannabis use is pretty much flatlined in that time. All that money, all those convictions, all those prison places, for nothing. Meanwhile, most of America and all of Germany, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, the Czech Republic, Spain, Portugal, Italy, Belgium, Austria, Croatia, Estonia and Slovenia, about 20 EU countries in all, have either decriminalised marijuana or legalised it completely. And over here, successive governments have looked into it. They've sent researchers out, taken fact-finding trips abroad, commissioned studies and always say the same thing. We should abandon this phony, unwinnable war on personal freedom, they say. And the reaction of whatever government happens to be in power at the time is always the same as well.
No.
No, they say. Absolutely.
No.
They say.
No.
And this time it was former Labour Justice Secretary Lord Charlie Falconer. Who was wasting his time. He chaired the Independent London Drugs Commission on the issue and called for a fundamental reset in the way that cannabis use is dealt with by the authorities. He said... The criminal justice response must be focused on punishing dealers, not users. Which is a sort of half-hearted fudge of a response that's about as sensible a statement as you could wish for here. You should be able to take it, but not buy it. Does that make sense? The commission found that the impacts of stop and search and jail sentences can't be justified on a person with a small amount of the drug. It said cannabis policing continues to focus on particular ethnic communities, creating damaging, long-lasting consequences for individuals, the wider society, and police-community relations. And if you think that nobody actually does go to jail for marijuana, well, there's 853 people in jail right now in this country that would beg to differ. The commission concluded that the inclusion of cannabis as a Class B drug in the Misuse of Drugs Act is disproportionate to the harms caused by other drugs under the law. And it calls for it to be moved to the Psychoactive Substances Act, where it would remain a criminal act to import manufacture and distribute cannabis, but not to possess it in small quantities for personal use. I mean, I'm sorry to sound like a dope, but how's someone going to possess it legally if no one can sell it? Where are you going to get it from? Currently, the maximum penalty for possessing cannabis is up to 5 years in prison, an unlimited fine or both. And the report described that as excessive. It said, while in reality those sentenced to custody for such serve only a matter of weeks, the negative consequences of serving any time in prison are significant. Yeah, that's right. It would be as difficult to find a job as it would if you were an ex-Tory MP. You know, but the right-wing press is going to have a fit you could hear through concrete just at the very idea of legalising it in any way, so illegal it will stay until we get a government that's prepared to join the rest of the world, which, by the way, still functions just fine, as far as I know. I mean, is Switzerland a drug-fuelled hellscape? Is Belgium, or Spain, or France, or America, even? Oh, OK, America is a hellscape, but that's for a different reason.
The American dream is dead.
The Commission described this inquiry as the most comprehensive international study to date of the use, impact and policing of cannabis. And researchers obtained written and oral evidence from more than 200 experts and academics from London, the UK and around the world. But they might as well not have bothered. In fact, the people on this commission must have known that they were wasting their time, which must be dispiriting. They're probably in need of a stiff drink.
Booze.
And the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, he welcomed the report. He said he will be studying the commission's recommendations and sharing the report's findings with all the relevant parties, including local authorities, the government, the Met Police, the NHS and other health and education partners, who will screw that report up and toss it in the bin. What a waste of time and money. Well, just stay here and do nothing, because, you know, that'll work. 0345 6060 973. Lee in Hull says the solstice might be on the 21st, Nick. However, the latest sunset is on the 27th of June. Oh, the latest sunset. Right, I got you. The sun sets the latest on the 27th of June, and the earliest sunrise is on the 14th of June. The solstice might be on the 21st, but the latest sunset is on the 27th. Well, how's the solstice on the... On a more positive side, we'll be halfway to the next A to Z of the year, says Lee. Oh, I don't know. I mean, every year I think, well, nothing's really happened. What are we going to talk about? And there's always a tsunami of things to talk about. But let's not think about that now. Christmas, Jesus' birthday is not around the corner. Not yet. Here's a call in South Kensington. Hello, John.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, John.
Yeah.
You're saying?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that Nick?
Yes. Is that John?
Oh, hi, Nick. You've got a fantastic program, but unfortunately, I differ with you regarding bananas.
Go ahead.
Well, you told one of the previous callers that opening bananas is a question of opinion.
No, it's not a question of opinion. It's a question of the correct way to open a banana, which is from the top.
Well, we can't prove it. The only daft thing about bananas opening, monkeys opening bananas, is they all open bananas the same way.
Yes, human beings all open bananas the same way.
No, you've had callers, including myself, to tell you that different cultures open bananas different ways. It's a matter of opinion, like you said previously.
Culture? Well, you're not saying it's a matter of opinion. You're saying it's a matter of different cultures.
Yes, but bananas are opened the same way by monkeys.
Yes.
So perhaps they're telling us something.
Well, is there anything else a monkey does that you would want to copy?
Well, I wouldn't want us to base the rightness or wrongness of the way they open bananas simply because you think they're stupid.
Yes.
Compared to human beings, they haven't invented weapons of mass or mutual destruction, for example.
Yes, thank you. Proof positive that we are brighter.
No, it shows how daft we are. With all our intelligence, we've fabricated the crash of 2008,
mm-hmm.
and then robbed the ordinary people to pay the bankers out of that
yes.
self-inflicted crash.
And what were monkeys doing about it at the time? Absolutely
well,
nothing.
Monkeys wouldn't do anything. It's not nothing to do with them. They're happily living their lives. and then after that, we had to reinstill to austerity.
Yes, and monkeys still didn't do anything about it. Monkeys could have stepped in at any time, and they chose not to. They know what they've done.
No, don't blame it on the monkeys, since we're so intelligent and they're so daft. And then after that, we inflicted upon ourselves the miseries of Brexit.
Yes.
And did
monkeys warn us that it would be deleterious to the good economic health of this country? No, they didn't say a thing.
But what can they say? We wouldn't listen to them. We're so arrogant, intellectually arrogant, and ultimately we're going to destroy this planet, and they will inherit the planet after we've gone. Thank you.
No, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's warning us now. I blame it on the sunshine. I blame it on the moonlight. I blame it on the good times. I blame it on the monkeys. 0345-6060-973. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night at 10. Nick Abbott, LBC.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The only way is up for the UK's military spending.
I can announce this government will begin the biggest sustained increase in defence spending since the end of the Cold War.
And now a pledge to go further, as the government promises to get off defence and publish the Strategic Defence Review. The Prime Minister says Britain needs to get fighting fit, but will his plans simply cause more offence?
Nick Ferrari at breakfast, back Monday morning from 7. Listen on your radio, on Global Player, and the new LBC app.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand finished, and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Protect your dog from fleas and ticks with new Front Pro chewable tablets. Easy to give, each tablet offers 1 month's protection, helping to keep your dog happy, healthy and close. Because nothing should come between you. Front Pro chewable tablets from the makers of Frontline. Available online or in-store from pet specialist retailers. For more information, see uk.frontline.com. Contains a Foxolana.
Car owners, you could be owed thousands in compensation. If you bought a car on finance from 2007 onwards, it may have been sold with hidden commissions. Text CLAIM to 86688. My Claim Group. Authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. You don't need to use a CMC. You can claim direct to your lender and the Financial Ombudsman for free. Text CLAIM to 86688.
Claims made simple.
Leading Britain's conversation. Nick Abbott. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
What number are you calling from?
0345 6060 973. My call is important to you. This text says, I recently bought banana sauce. It's very like sweet tomato sauce. It's found in the Jamaican food aisle. Very nice. Opens as usual from the top of a bottle. Not sure monkeys like it. Yeah, see? Monkeys, you're so smart. Try opening that from the bottom. Plymouth, hello, Mark.
Oh, hi, yeah. I've got a prediction.
Go on.
Well, I was about AI. I was looking at the Times magazine, and they've got this research they've done, and there's this artificial intelligence. They've called it Claude.
Yes.
And it lies. Strategically lies to you.
Well, it's worse than that. The one that... Claude. Now, there's one of them. Let me... I've got detailed files. One moment, please. And every single thing about this detailed file is alarming. But I think Claude was the one where in a simulation, the handler, the operator of the artificial intelligence bot, told the AI that it was going to turn it off.
Mm.
And the AI responded by going through the operator's emails noticing that he was having an affair and threatening to tell his wife if that operator turned it off.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
I know.
I mean, my prediction is with AI, it'll take over the world. The super rich will get richer.
Yes.
Then there'll be a level of people that'll be okay, but there'll be loads of people that'll be so skint that end up, they won't be able to afford razor blades, they'll get hairier, and they'll live in trees and throw extra money at each other and have bananas the right way.
Yes.
That's what I think will happen. I think we'll end up with a mass group of people that haven't got very much.
And I tell you what, people are thinking, oh, well, you know, that's science fiction, and even if it does come to pass, it'll be decades from now. And I hate to break the news to you, but the people who are making this stuff say it's not going to be decades, it's not going to be years, it's probably going to be by the end of this year.
Oh, dear. I've been watching Black Mirror a lot, and some of that, you watch that and you think, oh, crikey, I can see that happening.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's very good. Very good.
Yeah, it's one of those things that people keep saying is very good. But it's British, isn't it?
It's Charlie Brooker, yeah. But it's very well written. They've got a lot of... it's set all around the world, but I've been very impressed with it, really, each one. So, but it's
I just have a resistance to British productions, because they're usually cheap, they're usually miserable, and they're usually, like, sort of monochrome, you know?
It is quite dark, but it's like you can see where it's going, and you think, oh, the world's changed massively, isn't it, really? So we're all going to... I mean, I could be AI now talking to you, couldn't I?
Well, that is true, yeah. I mean, it has got pretty much that good, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's... maybe there's sort of password or something.
Yes. What's your PIN number, Mark? I'm sorry, I can't help you with that.
Your call is important.
Yeah, so I know it is, yeah. All right, good work. Thanks a lot, Mark. Okay. Cheers, mate. Ta-da. I wonder if I've got time to read this, because it's... Maybe I'll do it after the news. I tell you what, I am holding in my hand a piece of paper, and you're not going to like it. It's actually really scary, and the speed at which it's happening is... It's beyond expectations, really. Because we do think, oh, well, you know, this is stuff that's going to happen in the future. But it's not. It's happening right now. And the consequences are also happening right now. Well, I might get into that in a minute. And like I said, I had a conversation about this kind of thing with an AI expert on last Sunday. And I'll put that conversation in the Best Of podcast, which comes out on a Monday, called the Nick Abbott Habit. It's 30 minutes of old clips, and usually they're old clips. But this chat that I had was... I found it fascinating and alarming and funny in equal measure. But because it happened on a Sunday after midnight, there was probably not very many people heard it as compared with, listening now, for instance. So, yeah, I'll put it out on Monday on the podcast, the Nick Abbott Habit. Let's see now. Where are we? Croydon. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Nick.
Laura.
How are you this evening?
I am great, mate.
I don't think any of your callers are AI, myself included. By the way, please could you wire me some money, because I've run into a bit of trouble.
Yes, absolutely. Are you a Nigerian princess? Give me your bank details and I'll send it straight over.
I can be more with you on the war on drugs. I think this country could do with a bit of the wacky-backy. I mean, case in point, you've had your callers calling here to complain about your position on bananas.
Yeah.
I think we need to be taken down a peg, to be honest, and just chill out.
I don't know what people are on calling this program, but they need to maybe temper their use, at the very least.
Well, I don't think whatever they're taking is not enough, is what I would say. If you're getting, and no pun intended here, no material, if you are getting bent out of shape about bananas...
Like a banana, yeah.
Yeah, then I think you need to chill out a little bit.
I think these people need to be investigated to the fullest extent of the law.
And, you know, if that was legal, we could all enjoy more pleasant things.
What,
like
bananas?
Well, no, I thought about having rescue animals, strawberries and lay-bys, which I bought today.
Did you?
I bought some strawberries from the lay-by, yeah.
Was that wise?
Maybe it has some of the wacky backy in there. I'm in really good mood today, to be fair.
Well, probably not. But you bought strawberries in a lay-by. Is that a good place to buy fruit?
They have them everywhere, though. They're I drove past Stonehenge today, and they had them. Every lay-by was selling them. It's like that time of year. It's like a wholesome. See, you don't know this because you live in London, right?
Yeah.
But outside of London, people selling fruit in lay-bys is this really wholesome thing where we all, you know, we celebrate the harvest of the strawberries. In London, of course, I wouldn't buy anything from a lay-by.
Oh, God, can you imagine buying anything at all that you would put in your mouth in a lay-by in London? Good grief.
Yeah, so I think you got to get out of London and experience the wholesomeness. And actually, speaking of wholesomeness, I saw that scientists have discovered that bees, if you give a little wooden ball to bees, they like pushing them around. There's no reason other than that they enjoy it.
Rubbish.
Discovered.
Nonsense.
Well, why would they push it around then?
You're not talking about bees. Those are dung beetles.
No, they're like fuzzy things, stripes, and they're flying. I'm not making it up.
Bees like to play football.
Well, yeah, they basically it was a process of elimination. They gave these little wooden balls to these bees, and they thought there is no other logical explanation for them doing this.
So what position
that they fancy the kickabout?
Right. So if they are playing football, what position do they play? Don't tell me winger. These are the jokes, folks.
Let me know. I'll listen out for when they come in, these jokes, because I haven't heard any yet.
Yeah, a listener with material.
Oh, no.
All right, say goodbye, Laura.
Ta-ta.
0345-6060-973. This text says, gorillas split banana skins in the middle with their thumbs and pull the fruit out and eat it whole. Ugh, animals. Andy in Plymouth says, on the banana theme, when I used to ski in Bavaria, one of the most popular beers was a wheat beer that smelled of bananas. Tasted like beer and was particularly tasty. No idea where the smell came from, although it might be a wheat thing. I never saw a monkey try it, but I'd recommend it. I don't think drunk monkeys is a good idea. I mean, I'm no expert, but it's probably a bad combination. Monkeys, alcohol. No, I would say no. Wheat beer, though. That sounds good. What else? How many more of these have I got? Just so I can pace myself. Oh, gosh. Absolute boatload. I'm never going to get through them. But you know me. I never complain.
Whinging and whining and moaning.
Let's see now. Let's have tooting. Hello, Jan.
Oh, hi, Nick.
Yes,
hi.
Jan.
I thought I would add something into this discussion or whatever about bananas.
Whatever.
I found this video.
This outpouring, these rants. Yes.
Yeah, but I found a very intriguing film on YouTube about this baby monkey eating a banana for the very first time.
Yeah.
And this very interesting, Monkey Boo, it's called, on YouTube. Mm. And what she does, I think I don't know if it's he or she, it's wearing a nappy as well, as well as ducks.
A monkey is wearing a nappy.
Because it's a baby. It's a baby
because
monkey.
Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense, because it's a baby monkey, of course.
So, apparently, and then I did a further look up about something, because I wanted to know how many sides a banana has. So, a banana can have between 3 to 7 sides. And someone did some experiment of counting the sides of 280 bananas or something.
What do you mean, sides?
Well, you know, it's not a round thing. It's got slight angles to it.
Mm.
A banana has certain angles to it, so it can have three sides. You know, like it's not a total circular tube,
right,
sort of thing. Yeah. So I actually had some bananas, and I thought I'd check and see how many sides the bananas that I bought today had.
Yes.
And yeah, they've got my bananas. Five sides.
Does that include the inside and the outside?
No, that's the outside. The shape of the banana isn't cylindrical. Let's put it that way.
Right.
It's got a slight angle.
Yes.
So my bananas that I've got have five angles and sides to it. It's not a cylinder, a perfect cylinder. And that's the most common.
But what's that going to do with anything? Site. I mean, why are you checking how many sides a banana's got, for crying out loud?
No,
I mean, you're the only person in history who's ever counted the size of a banana.
Nick, I'm saying it in relation to this monkey Boo, because how to explain it to you. So monkey Boo, this baby monkey in nappies, was given a banana by its owner to eat for the very first time.
So this would be its instinctual take on how to eat the banana. And what happened?
It's amazing. Yeah, I had to see it about five times to see exactly what was going on.
Yes, what was going on?
The banana.
Time is running out, Jan. Yes?
Yeah, quickly, yes. The monkey is taking it from the base of the banana.
Oh, the wrong way.
But it's peeling the sides down one at a time and then taking the whole banana out.
Stupid monkey.
To eat. No, it's very clever.
What is the evidence for that? Good work. Thanks a lot, Jan. Keep us updated.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at midnight. A British man is being prosecuted in the United States for allegedly trying to smuggle American military technology to China. John Miller is also accused of organising the stalking and harassment of a critic of Beijing. LBC's Tom